I'm excited about, we got a two-part series beginning this morning, and then the next part's going to finish up next Sunday. Isn't that cool how that works? And, we're going to be talking about the imagination, So, this morning we're going to talk about the imagination, and we'll talk about basically an evil imagination. A lot of times the Bible, you'll see it, the phrase, the imaginations of the heart. A lot of times it talks about that when it's talking about a evil imagination. Our imagination can be used for good and it can be used for bad. The devil can get a hold of our imagination and God can get a hold of our imagination. So, a lot of what we do and a lot of how we live is determined by our imaginations. So it's important that we win the battle of our minds as we want to live this thing called life, and as we want to serve Jesus. A lot of things begin with the heart and with the mind, and that's where our imaginations are all tied in together. So this morning we're going to talk about an evil imagination, and next Sunday we're going to talk about a God-given imagination. Talk about things like dreams and visions that God gives us, and how God uses our imagination to lead us and inspire us to do His will. Amen? Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their, what's it say? Imaginations. Some translations say thoughts. And their foolish heart was darkened. Well, they knew God, because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. God, if we didn't come here this morning just to punch off our church card or just out of a habit and routine, but God, we came here today, God, to worship You. And Lord, to hear what You have to say to us. We ask, God, this morning that You would speak to us now, Your people, while we're listening. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, but most of all, touch our hearts, God, to where we can understand and be changed. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I believe our imagination is part of how God has created us in His image. We have the ability with our imaginations to think of things, to imagine and see things in our mind's eye before it even exists. And then in our imagination, we can see something that doesn't exist, and then we can work towards creating that or making that happen. Our imagination is part of the part of God's image that He's put in us, because God is a creator and He has created us to be creators and have an imagination and to do things, and He's created us to bring to life things that haven't yet been seen, and He uses our imagination to do that. Our imagination is very central to our soul and to our spirit, to our thoughts and our mind. The Bible says out of our hearts is where evil comes from, and our imagination is all tied up to our passions, our heart, you know, and where we are drawn towards inside of us, and those things are central to who we are as people. In fact, a lot of us live some kind of portion of our life that we live is lived in our minds, in our thoughts, and our imaginations, through thinking through things, through as simple as just getting up in the morning and thinking through what you're going to do in the day. So you kind of use your imagination, your thoughts to to imagine and kind of purpose how the day is going to go, or where it goes to even maybe plan out, and you use your imagination and say, well, you know what, based on past experience, it's going to be too much traffic on Arendelle, so I'm going to take Bridges Street Extension right now, this time of day. You know, we use our imaginations all the time in our thought process. And this wonderful ability to envision and think of things that we have never seen before is given to us by God. It's part of what separates us from all the rest of God's creation. And God wants to use this to take us to places and give us capabilities that's far beyond what we, where we're at right now. And He drives us a lot of times to the heights and greatness of who we can be as human beings, as servants of God, through our imagination. And also the devil wants to take hold of that imagination. But God has created you to dream, so dream big. Amen. We'll say that one more time. God has created you to dream, so dream big. When God wants to use your imagination and a lot of those thoughts that God puts in your mind, and sometimes the ones that challenge us, that take us further than what we think we can be, is given to us by God. Dream big. Don't limit God, but allow yourself to dream and have faith and the sweat and the toil and the belief to make those dreams come true. Leonardo da Vinci. Yeah, here we go. He sketched out hundreds of years ago. Leonardo da Vinci, centuries before a helicopter was ever created. In his imagination, he thought of a flying contraption similar to our helicopter. And he sketched it out and he began to try to work out the mathematics of how this could be possible. Before it was even possible in man's reality, it was a part of some man's imagination. See the power of imagination? And either through catching a glimpse of Leonardo da Vinci's dream or dreaming it himself, Frenchman Paul Cornu made the first manned flight in 1907. Anybody want to jump on there with him? And out of man's imagination came a helicopter and the ability to fly. And now we see them mass produced and used all the time, helicopters. Flash Gordon, 1934, was when the first comic strip of Flash Gordon came out and was real popular in the 1940s. I would say, is anybody a kid during the 1940s, but I'm not going to do that. Did anybody read Flash Gordon growing up? Then it became a television show in the, was it the 60s, I think it was, a television show, Flash Gordon, before we had ever made it into outer space. Man was dreaming, you know, and going through his imagination to, you know, to planet Q and to seeing what was all beyond the atmosphere of these blue skies and white clouds. And then rocket ships. And we, whoever, I don't know, I mean, they did it with monkeys first, but that was, I don't know if the men were brave or if they were stupid or not to get strapped to this great big old tower filled with rocket fuel and light it on fire and send them into outer space. But Glenn Armstrong and the pilot Buzz Aldrin, if you're going to be an astronaut, you need a name like Buzz Aldrin. And he piloted the first flight to the moon. And in 1969, man walked on the moon. Because it began with somebody's imagination. Somebody thought, I wonder if we can do that. I wonder what it would be like. How could I get it done? And so from someone's dream came a man walking on the moon. And men still continue to dream and do amazing things because of our imaginations. Our imaginations often lead us in our life. We follow our imaginations. We begin to imagine things and then we will live them out. Most of the things that we do in life, we first imagine before we ever do them. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You become most of the time what you think about, what you imagine. Whether if it's you're down in the dumps and you imagine that you've got a good job and you finally got the bills caught up or whatever it is and you put the hard sweat into it, or you imagine yourself getting past, you know, getting past that thing that keeps tripping you up and keeping you knocked down, and you finally, you imagine overcoming it, or you imagine yourself with that cute girl or cute guy, and then you finally get the nerve to ask them out or send them a text or whatever it is. We imagine everything first. We become many times what we dwell on in our thoughts. So think good thoughts. The Bible says, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if it's honorable, if it has any praise in it, think on these things. Why does the Bible say that? Because it knows what we think about, most of the time we become. What we dwell on in our mind ends up in our actions. And that's why the Bible said, out of the heart proceeds evil in these things, because it first begins in our imaginations, in our heart. We first think of them and we go over them. So don't let your imagination start you on a journey that you don't need to go on. Was that too much of a mouthful there? Don't. Say it again. Don't let your imagination start you on a journey that you don't need to be on. If you don't need to go down that road, don't let that imagination start taking you there. Right? Listen. An evil imagination is not a good thing. Because, and well, look in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 6, you'll see the account of the flood. Remember the flood? Noah, he built the arky, and then they came in two by two, and some of them actually came in seven by seven, for you Bible scholars, you know what I'm talking about? And, I got sidetracked there now. Got to get my thoughts back. So God tells Noah in Genesis chapter 6. Do we have that? Let's Genesis chapter 6 on the screen, 6 verse 5, one of our scriptures. See if it comes up. There it is. Yeah. And the Bible says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So what was the assessment that God made as he looked down on earth, and he made an assessment that the only alternative was to judge the earth with a great flood and wipe out all of humanity except for one family, which is the harshest judgment this earth has ever had? The judgment of wiping everybody out? What was the assessment that says, hey, this is going on, so I've just got to wipe the slate all clear and start over again? What was so bad that God said, I've got to start all over with one family? What was it? It was the imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That man was only thinking about evil. His imagination was consumed with evil thoughts. And so God knew that if their imagination is void of righteousness, then their actions will be void of righteousness. If their imagination has become corrupt, then their lives will be corrupt. Don't let your imagination start you on a journey that you don't need to be on. Don't let your imagination take you to a place that you don't need to be. The Bible says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? We read it in our scripture. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imagination and their foolish heart was darkened. This is the first step to backsliding. The first step to losing out your relationship with God is summed up in this verse right here. It says, because what one when they knew God, their status was knowing God, right? What happened when they knew God? How did they start this journey away from God? They did it by not praising God and not being thankful. You need to be thankful on purpose. You need to give God the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of your lips, whether you feel like it or not. Praise is not a feeling. Praise is a gift of glorifying God through your words, through your action, through your heart, all these things. Be careful when you praise God less and when you become less grateful. Be thankful on purpose. Get up in the morning, God, thank you for another day. Not everybody has this day. So when you want to complain about it, realize that some people don't have it. There's always something to be thankful for. And there's plenty of people in worse situations than you are. You can think of somebody. Sometimes it might take a little bit more thinking to find somebody in a worse situation than you, but you can find them after a while. There's things to be thankful for. There's His Word. There's the love of God. There's Jesus Christ that all of us have. Some of us have family. Some of us have food. Some, you know, most of us ate yesterday. Some of us ate more than others, right? All of us are blessed. We have something to be thankful for. But they didn't do those things. So when you don't worship God and you're not grateful or thankful for what God has given, see, you start developing this mindset of, you know, God's not good to me, or God's ways aren't good ways, and you become unthankful. They become vain in their imaginations. And so what then happens? Before you take one action on backsliding, you start imagining it in your mind. You start thinking about doing things that you shouldn't do, or doing things that were off limits. Before Eve ever ate of the fruit in the garden, she started imagining it. What is going to happen if I do this? How is it going to play out? Is it good or bad or not? Be careful what you imagine. Because You will go down a slippery slope once you start allowing vain imaginations to take root in your life. Because see, the devil knows he'll lie to us. Guess what, folks? The devil is a liar. That's what he does. And he'll come and he'll whisper things in our ear and he'll be like, oh, you don't have to do it. You can just think about it. Nobody will ever know. You can just imagine it. Right? That's what he does. He'll play with your imagination. And if you open up that door to your imagination and let the devil into your imagination, he'll begin playing all sorts of games with you. It'll be okay, he says. We'll just keep this all inside and nobody will ever know. And you can just, in your imagination, you can just enjoy this little bit of temptation or whatever it is. Or he'll start messing with your imagination and he'll start putting thoughts of complaints and ingratitudes. You know, the world's treating you bad and nothing's fair. I wouldn't put up with it if I were you. You got to be careful, church. Many a good person, many a teenager, many a church member, many a ministry, many a songwriter and singer, many a preacher have been destroyed because they allowed the vain imaginations in their minds and hearts. You ever wondered, how could they have ever done that? Well, it didn't start with that action. It started with an imagination before the action ever took place. So when we saw it on the outside, when we were able to witness finally what took them down in our minds, something had been going on the inside in that imagination, most likely for some period of time. Guard your imagination. Bible says, guard your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the spring of life. Guard it with all vigilance. Be careful about it. That's why, you know, sometimes we get a reputation of being hard sometimes, but that's why we warn against what you watch. Be careful, little eyes, what you see and what you hear. Because what you watch on TV and the movie screens and YouTube and anywhere else gets in your mind and sometimes starts to play with your imagination. That's why we warn sometimes on what we let, be careful what kind of music you listen to, because that music gets in your mind and in your heart and can start playing with your imagination. So we encourage you to make sure you pour good things into your life and not things that are going to, that's part of guarding your hearts and guarding your thoughts. Guard them with all vigilance, it says. See, a lot of people are, you can come to the piano. A lot of people are fighting this battle of being a Christian and trying to live for the Lord. They're fighting like someone that's just, you know, swinging at the air. You know, someone that's just, they don't know what they're fighting for. They're just fighting for their lives and they're just swinging and kicking, hoping that they can ward off whatever. They don't have focus on how to win this Christian battle. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been where you're like, I don't know how to overcome this battle I'm fighting. I don't know how to overcome this sin or this thing that keeps overtaking me, this trap I keep falling into. I don't know how to get past it. I don't know how to get over it. I don't know how to get through it. And we're fighting like someone that's just swinging and just like we don't have any kind of vision at all. We're just swinging in the dark, hoping that we'll hit something. Or we're hiding in the corner, hoping that we can stay, hoping we can avoid it somehow. But that's not how God has created you to fight this battle. God says that you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. And the truth is that many of these battles are fought through guarding our hearts. Through paying attention to what's going on in our mind. The Bible says to bring every thought into captivity. It says it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. When that imagination comes, if it's not a godly imagination, if it's not a good imagination, if it's not a good thought, if it's a vain imagination, or if it's a bad thought, if it's something you know you shouldn't be thinking, or you know it's going to start taking you on a journey that you're not willing to go on or that you don't need to go on, then you need to cast down that imagination. You need to shake it off and say, no, I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to do that. You say, preacher, that's easier said than done. Yeah, but you've got the power of Jesus Christ on your side. Isn't that right? So you can say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, you thought. You could even say it out loud in Walmart. Nobody will think any different. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You can start thinking that good thought. You can... That's why it's good to read your Bible every day. If you can maybe bring up one of those verses of scripture that stood out during your Bible reading. You can repeat a Bible verse. How did Jesus fight temptation? He fought temptation by rebuking the devil through the Word of God. There's power in the Word of God. And there's power in the name of Jesus. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous can run into it and be safe. Guard your hearts, church. Don't allow the devil and vain thoughts or bad imaginations to run your thoughts this way and that and become a victim of a roller coaster ride and going places and jerking you around that you were never intended to be in. That's why we don't have peace, because we don't guard our imagination. Guard it. It's precious. It's one of the greatest assets that you have as God's pinnacle creation. Guard it. Don't let it be abused, and don't let it be used by the devil. Guard it. It's special, so don't let it be taken down into the dumps or go places that it doesn't need to be. Guard it. This is your imagination. It's God's given imagination. It's intended to be used for God's dreams and His purposes in God's, and a way for God to lead you and guide you on your life, and a way for God to give you faith and hope and courage. Amen. Guard it. If you want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, if you want to walk in with the strength of the Lord and walking as an overcomer, then you first must guard your imagination. Don't become a victim of a vain imagination. When I got saved, one of the greatest things that God gave me, and He even gave it to me before I confessed Him as Lord, He started while I was sitting on a church pew trying not to pay attention. He dropped down in my imagination, and I began to think, what would life be like if I lived for Jesus? Jesus. How would my life be if I live for Jesus instead of doing what I'm doing now? And there, with me at the center of what God was doing in my life, but totally oblivious to how it was all going on, God began to pour into my imagination. And I began to think, man, it would be better. See, the devil's a liar. He'll say, you know what? You'll be better off doing this thing that's evil. You'll have so much more fun. He'll say, you'll be better off just lying and cheating a little bit like right here. You'll make more money. He'll say, you'll be better off running over this person, because if you know you can run over them, and if you run over them, you'll get what you want. And he's all the time lying, because he's a liar. And the truth is not in him. There is never one instance. There is never one place. There is never one circumstance where you would be better off without God. Where you would be better off doing things your way. Listen, I'm wanting to get into next week's message. Maybe I'll tiptoe in it, stick a toe in a little bit. Listen, God's created you to bless you, to serve Him, and to live a life victorious, more than conquerors, accomplishing your dream and your destiny. But that's only going to happen if you give Him control over your imagination, and you don't allow vain imaginations to keep getting you off track and off center, and change your passions to where God's passions can't be pinnacle in your life. He's a liar. Every time he says it, you'll be better off. If you get intimate, it don't matter if you want to marry him or her or not. It don't matter. This is 2018. Have fun. Live in the moment. But you know what? You're not better off. You're better off finding someone you can commit to and having a place of intimacy that's built out of respect and trust and honor and commitment. Hallelujah. I thought I was going to close sooner than this, you know. When I got saved, God gave me a godly imagination. And I began to think, I began to imagine myself. I'd never done it. One day in my, I'd got saved and got backslid on and off like that, you know. So for a few years, I hadn't lived one day for Jesus. But after I got saved, I imagined myself. You know what? Tomorrow, I'm living for Jesus. I'm going to read my Bible tomorrow. I imagined myself. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go to church every Sunday and every chance I can. I imagined myself. And I pursued that godly imagination, that dream, that vision that he put in me of me being a child of God. That's why, well, I got one more thing I'm going to share with you. That's what the apostles had, the same thing. God led them. When after Pentecost, when Jesus had gone back up into heaven, they started to imagine. They said, you know what? We've seen Jesus perform all these signs and wonders. We saw Jesus do all of these great things. And they began to imagine themselves without Jesus there performing miracles and signs and wonders and people getting saved and the church growing. And so out of that imagination, they began to pray a prayer. And it's recorded in the scriptures, and it says they prayed this prayer, Lord God, give us that signs and wonders would be performed in the name of Jesus Christ. And so God, they imagined it and they prayed for it and God delivered it. So the Bible says, and this is going to be our prayer this morning, we're going to pray. David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. So this morning we're going to take a few minutes and pray before we leave. And ask God to search our hearts and minds. Some of us know already the places as in our imagination that we're losing that battle. Where we're not casting them down. We're not bringing them into captivity of Jesus Christ. Where we're letting those things mull over in our mind that we know we shouldn't be. That we should just be kicking them out. We should say, no, I'm not going to listen to that. No, I'm not going to do that. You know how those kids, they put their hands over their ears and go, nah, 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 nah. You know, you may just have to just start singing your favorite song. Christian song or whatever it is, but you can get that imagination out of there. We're going to pray, God, search me and help me to guard my imagination. Cleanse our thoughts so that our imagination can be yours and not an evil imagination. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us an imagination, an ability to dream and think and to see things even before they happen or before see things that don't even exist. God, you have fearfully and wonderfully created us, God, in your image. And Lord, it's such an awesome thing that you have done with us, your people. And God, so we ask you, Lord, to help us, God, to guard our imaginations, Lord. Sometimes we lose that battle. Sometimes we allow our imagination to take us to places we shouldn't be and to keep us off track or off center. But God, help us, Lord, to sanctify our thoughts and our imaginations, Lord, so that that you can use them for your glory and your purpose. And so you can lead us through dreams and visions, imaginations in our hearts and minds. And God, so that you can give us victory and joy and peace. And God, I pray, Lord, and come against every evil imagination, God, and everything that exalts itself against God. I rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus. And God, and declare, God, that the devil has no room in our thought life. He has no room in our minds and in our imagination. So right now, we kick him out in the name of Jesus. And we rebuke him in the name of Jesus. Get thee behind me, Satan. Because you're not minding the things of God, but the things of men. Hallelujah. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The altars are open. If you want special prayer, come and stand and we'll pray with you. You can pray in your pew, but let's take some time and pray before we leave this morning.